It's only just a matter of
Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, since we're living in a day that's anything but mundane, shouldn't our faith be anything but mundane? In fact, don't desperate times call for miraculous faith? I mean, the times are desperate, so now it's time for some miraculous faith. My guest today writes this: you are meant to receive the abundance God promises here and now. Even in the midst of our broken world's traumas and trials, you can learn to lower the volume of life and truly hear God. You can discover how to pray His promises instead of praying over your problems. You can discover how to pray His promises instead of praying over your problems. So grateful to invite Carlos Whitaker back to the program today to revisit his great book, Enter Wild. Exchange a mild and mundane faith for a life with an uncontainable God. And here's what I want to say to you. We've got 6 copies of Carlos's book to give away, but I want your engagement. So we've got other giveaways we're going to do as well. So if you want in on the drawing for the book, text the word book, 877-933-2484. But I want to know, what do you want to see God do, either in your life, in your culture? What would be a miraculous answer to prayer for you? And text that in, and we're going to draw some names and get some books off of our Faith Radio shelf and surprise you with a book in the mail. What do you want? What would a miracle look like to you? How do you want God to break through in you, around you, in a loved one, in your culture? Engage with me, and don't wait till the back half of the show, all right? I want to hear from you now. Can you tell that there's a pattern? So I want to hear from you now, 877-933-2484. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Carlos Whitaker is an author, speaker, worship leader, and self-professed hope dealer. I love this. He slings hope wherever he goes. He speaks at some of the largest churches in the country and at conferences, including Orange, Catalyst, and others, a People's Choice Award winner, host of a popular podcast, and also the author of Moment Maker and Kill the Spider. He lives with his wife, Heather, and their 3 children in Nashville. And I love this guy. Carlos, welcome back to the program.
Oh, Suzy, thanks so much for having me. I was so excited when I got invited back.
Well, you know what? I felt like you really fanned the flame for all of us, and it just was time to revisit this, you know? And I felt like we barely touched the content in your book, so there's lots here that we can talk about. Before we get there, though, let's talk scripture. I'm wondering, just in your own time with God, is there something you've been pondering these days?
Oh, my gosh, yes. The thing that keeps being ringing clearer and clearer on a daily basis. And honestly, I only got to the scripture about in the last 2 days, but for about a week, I've just been, you know, just lamenting over where we are, lamenting over kind of the climate of our country, lamenting over where we find ourselves. And I was like, Lord, will you just lead me to something that I can lean on? And he led me to Isaiah 40, verse 8, where, and I've been sitting for about 2 days on it, where it says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And, you know, I'm a pretty opinionated guy. I'm a guy that loves to share stories and look up data and statistics and all these things. And, you know, I think those things are helpful, but again, I don't know if those things are necessarily hopeful. And I was just reminded that all of the data, all of the kind of situations we find ourselves in our country, all those things are just fleeting. The word of the Lord is what is going to carry us through. So, Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord will be the thing that stands forever. You've got to anchor your hope in the word. Hopefully that encourages somebody today.
So good. So I asked those who want in on the drawing to text the word book. We've got some text coming in, but I also asked for engagement from listeners. What would a breakthrough, what would a miracle look like in your life? And we'll draw some names for books off of our Faith Radio shelf. And Julie writes this, Carlos, a breakthrough for family members to return fervently and enthusiastically back to the Lord. And you've got a wild prayer life. I know this because you got an amazing prayer in the back of your book that we'll talk about in a little bit. But would you pray for Julie that she would experience that kind of breakthrough?
Oh my gosh, yes. So this is what we do. Father, we consecrate Julie's request to you, which simply means we present it to you, we bring it to you as an offering. And we say, do with this as you will. We know that your heart, Lord, is to see your sons and daughters return to you. And so we know that this prayer is not out of your will. So we can confidently present this request to you and say, will you, in your time, return Julie's family members back to her? We consecrate this, Jesus Christ, and we ask right now, and I just ask that you allow Julie to realize that she has your full authority coursing through her veins. And may she feel that authority rise up inside of her right now. Lord, if that's goosebumps on her, if that's just her heart pumping faster, whatever it may be, may she feel that authority rise up in her. And may she call out anything that is in her home that is not of you. May she send it out her front door to the foot of the cross where she doesn't have to deal with it anymore. And once that stuff clears way, Jesus, may you begin to lay a red carpet back into her home for any family members that have fallen away, that have walked away. And may there be a celebration like she's never experienced before to see this answered prayer, the return of your sons and daughters back into the family of her home. And so I thank you for her brave prayer. I thank you for her confidence in this prayer. And I also thank you more than anything for you answering the prayer. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you don't mind, Carlos, I got to ask you to pray for one more here. Jill Henderson says, a hunger for Christ that supersedes anything else in my life. I love that prayer.
Yeah.
I echo that along with Jill. May it be so, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Would you mind one more prayer? We'll dig in.
Yes. And it's Jill.
Jill, yes.
Jill, okay, yeah. This is what I ask for Jill. Holy Spirit, I pray that right now that you begin to remove the things that are in the way for Jill, the things that may be maybe clogging the pipeline to abundance, Father God, that may be clogging the pipeline towards complete and total satisfaction in you alone. And so that's what I ask for. I ask for you to rip those things out of Jill's soul, rip those things out of her life that may, that are not of you. And again, we cast those things out into the foot of the cross, and we ask for that line of communication and that line of abundance just to be cleared so that now, I mean, it feels like if it went from a trickle of your spirit into her heart, Father, it feels like Niagara Falls into her heart right now. May she be, now, whatever she wanted, may you multiply that times 1,000, Lord. May she feel that in this moment. I thank you for Jill. I thank you for her faith. And I pray that you just explode faith in her life. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You didn't know I was going to put you to work the second you
got
on the show.
Let's go.
Thank you for that, serving our listeners that way. Well, I planned to ask you this question, and I feel like you sort of touched on it, but I'd love to know if you have anything more to say about it. But just wanted your take on the times we're in and what else God may be saying to you about it as you've watched.
Yeah, you know, and again, I maybe obviously not all your listeners were here for the last conversation we had. So if I repeat anything, I apologize. But I just feel like the biggest thing that we need to know is that, first of all, God's not surprised by any of this. He's not surprised by this pandemic. He's not surprised by the racial tension that our country is feeling. He's not surprised that there's an election this year. He's not surprised that California is on fire. All of the things that we're just like, God, is John 10:10 actually true? Like, I feel like 2020 is calling out John 10:10. I feel like 2020 is saying, hey, 10:10, John 10:10, let me give you another thing. Let me give you another thing. And I just feel like we've got to get to the place where we realize that we can, and I touched on this, you're right, we can have our help be a lot of things. There's so many things that are very helpful in the natural, right? Again, if it comes to, you know, whatever you believe about your health and about, you know, coronavirus, all those things, like, there's a lot of helpful things. There's helpful data, there's helpful doctors, there's helpful medicine, there's helpful prayer, there's all sorts of things. But our help isn't in the natural. Our help is in the natural, but our hope is in the supernatural. And if we want to really step into the rest of this year with a confidence and an authority that I know every single son and daughter of Jesus Christ himself have in him, then we've got to realize that our hope is in the supernatural and our help is in the natural. So, you know, do the things in the natural that are helpful. That's fine. But don't place your hope in the natural. Place your hope in the supernatural. And again, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be prayer and thanksgiving. It's going to be, you know, communing however is possible in the state or the city you live in with other believers, whether that's online, whatever that may be. That's going to be praise and worship on a daily basis. That's going to be praying on a daily basis, getting in the word on a daily basis. All of those things, if those aren't the foundation for the rest of this year, I'm telling you, you're not going to feel hope at all. You may feel helped, but you won't feel hope. And that's what I hope people get to.
Wow. Somebody give me an amen. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what it means to enter wild. And one of the first steps Carlos suggests is to enter rest. I love that he starts there. So I asked, if you want in on the drawing, we got 6 copies of Enter Wild. Exchange a mild and mundane faith for life with an uncontainable God. Carlos writes like he speaks. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. But I want you to engage in the conversation. What would a miracle look like? What kind of breakthrough are you looking for? Engage with me. And those of you who text in, we'll take a couple of names, a few names, and do a drawing and give a few of you some books off of our Faith Radio shelf. I love this from Nancy. My audacious prayer is that all across our nation, attitudes would change so that what is evil would be called evil, what is good would be called good, and that there would be a coast-to-coast hunger and thirst for the living God. Amen, Nancy. Amen. More with Carlos Whitaker in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to our friend Carlos Whitaker, who wrote the book Enter Wild, Exchange a Mild and Mundane Faith for Life with an Uncontainable God. You know, you want to see miraculous breakthroughs, you need desperate times. Well, we've got desperate times. So now for the miraculous breakthroughs. We've got 6 copies of Carlos's Wild book to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. But I've also asked you to engage and tell me, what would a miraculous breakthrough look like? Where do you want to see God really break through? I love Nancy's response. My audacious prayer is that all across our nation, attitudes would change so that what is evil would be called evil, what is good would be called good, and there'd be a coast-to-coast hunger and thirst for the living God. All right, Carlos, your book is titled Enter Wild, and I love that your opening section is titled Enter Rest. Say more about that.
You know, again, if we want to get to the place where we are experiencing the miracle signs and wonders that God has for us, this wild faith, this intense faith in, and it's not news to anybody. If I tell you that we are way more stressed out than we have ever been as a country, as a planet, I feel like the earth is groaning because we have just been going 100 miles an hour for so long. And we were never meant to move this fast, ever. God did not create our souls to accelerate at the speed that we are currently going. So the first step to entering wild is entering rest. And the reason why we need to rest isn't necessarily to lower your blood pressure, but it's to actually hear the voice of God. And again, if you want to get to wild, the first step, you're going to have to hear from God. And so I call it enter rest. And, you know, I tell a story in the book where it's not really a story, but I just say that Jesus's ministry, the speed at which Jesus walked in the Gospels, an average human being walks at 3 miles an hour. That is how fast we walk. And that's what Jesus did. I don't think he was running from town to town. I think he was walking from town to town, or maybe he was on a donkey, who knows, but he was moving slowly. If we take a look at our life and then take a look at the life of our Savior, and we compare the speed at which we move, there is a massive shift as to how fast we move. If I try to sell any of your listeners something that moved at 3 miles an hour, they would probably look at me like I was crazy. Why is that? Because we have Amazon Prime now. You order something on Amazon, it comes to your door within an hour. I mean, that is crazy. And so we're expecting of things to move fast. And I'm constantly telling people, what if the way to catch up with God isn't actually speeding up? What if it's slowing down? And I have found personally, and that's what I write about in the book, when we slow down, when we lower the volume of life, the volume of God goes up.
Man, love this. You said, my hope is that you'll slow down enough to hear God in ways you never could have imagined, that you'll enter rest and begin to hear him so loudly, so clearly. This is possible. It's actually meant to be normal. But first you have to lower the volume of life. And you wrote this before the pandemic, Carlos, and yet it's even more true today. I mean, lowering the volume of life. I've been talking about this pretty regularly on the show because we have to steward our perspectives. Our souls are not made for the level of disaster of bad news we're hearing. We've got to do that somehow, don't we?
Yes, no, we have to. And you have to, I love the way you say that. You know, we have to steward our souls. You know, even looking back at my grandparents' generation, the only way that they could place somebody else's story, good story or bad story, good news or bad news, on their soul was if somebody personally told them a story face to face, or if they got a letter in the mail. That was like the speed at which their souls and the pace at which their souls were created to carry good news or bad news. But then my parents' generation got cable news, 24-hour news, even more stories, good news and bad news on our souls. Then my generation got the internet, right? And then we've got more stories, and we got email. Then you've got social media, and you've got, you know, you wake up in the morning, you swipe to turn your alarm off, you open up Twitter, and you're inundated with horrible news, with good news, bad news, all the news, and we just weren't created to carry that kind of weight. So, like, let's talk about simple solutions to that, right? A simple solution that I did is, like, I deleted the kind of, I call it story stress applications off of my phone. For me, that was Twitter and that was Facebook. Those were the things that were just throwing different good news and bad news stories on my soul that I was never meant to carry. Does that mean I'm off of those apps? No. I just install them whenever I want to use them, and then I delete them when I'm done. And so what that does is it allows me to gain control over the story stress that's happening. I also don't use my phone as an alarm clock next to my bed. I have an actual alarm clock that was probably made in like 1989, and I found it in my garage. I plugged it in my wall. People may not even know what this is. It's an actual thing that just wakes you up. You don't do anything else on it. And I put my phone in my kitchen, and I don't go to bed with my phone, and I don't wake up with my phone. And I make sure that I'm not putting more story stress on me. And I mean, that's just so beautiful the way you said that. Steward our souls. And the way we've got to do it when we enter rest is by making sure we're not heaping more on our souls than we're actually able to carry.
Somebody's got to give me an amen. I want to know, Carlos, how things changed for you when you started to make some of these very simple but effective changes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm talking about physical manifestations of anxiety that I was having, trembling hands, heart palpitations, all the things that I thought, you know, that the world or the natural, we'll go back to what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, all the things that in the natural I would think, well, maybe, you know, I've got to go to therapy to fix this, or I've got to take some medicine to fix this, and I've got to do this and that. I'm not saying those things aren't helpful, but I'm saying those things aren't hopeful. And when I stopped, when I lowered the story stress in my life, literally physical manifestations, heart palpitations stopped, trembling stopped. You know, I was able to sleep a lot longer, a lot healthier. All of these things, my rest became more holy and more sacred. And, you know, I think a lot of people think resting is sitting on the sofa and thumbing through their feed on their phones. And it's just not rest. You're just still consuming. And we just weren't made to consume those things. And so for me, I did find that I got a lot healthier when I lowered the story stress in my life.
You know, I'm picturing someone thinking, well, I got to know what's going on in the world. And yet I think about, yes, but it's like it's coming at us from every angle. More importantly yes. than knowing what's going on in the world, you got to know what God is saying in this day.
Yes.
And how many Christians really are listening to what the Lord is saying to them in this day. Yes. That's where their influence matters, isn't it?
That is where their influence matters. So you can know everything. You can be on Twitter. You can be inundated with every news station, all this information, data, and content. And if you are not anchored to the Word of God, that content, data, and news is going to sway your soul from left to right. How about doing this? How about anchoring your soul in the Word of God, spending way more time praying and interceding and listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and thumbing through the Word of God? And then, of course, like I think it is important to be up to date on the matters of the world. But here's another thing that I did. I actually subscribed to this thing called a newspaper. And what it does, what this thing is it's actually made of paper, and somebody throws it in my lawn every day. And I walk out to my lawn, I pick up this piece of paper, I unwrap it, and I read the news stories. And guess what? That is the only place I get my news stories for the day. Guess this, something may happen at 4 p.m. that I'm not going to know about until the next morning, but I'm going to be okay. And it's a lot healthier when I decided to do that instead of just constantly consuming.
You really are an old-fashioned guy. I love it.
I love it.
I just have to retire,
you know?
Yeah, right. I love that, though. Those are just very simple things. We don't feel like we have the option, but we absolutely do have the option. And wondering, as much as you're comfortable, would you talk about your battle with anxiety? That is something I hear from our listeners, that it's just, that, you know, that is also at an epidemic level right now because of all the uncertainty that surrounds us.
Yes, it is at an epidemic level. And, you know, I'll start with, again, realizing, I think we all realize, especially with what we've just been talking about, Susie, you and I, for the last 10 minutes, that we're living at a pace that we weren't created to live at. And so it's no wonder that people are having panic attacks, struggling with anxiety, struggling with depression. And so my story goes back to, you know, I guess it was like 2003. I had my very first panic attack. I had a one-year-old, maybe she was even less than that, six-month-old. Everything in my life had changed. And I was on stage leading worship, and I'll never forget, the room started spinning, my chest started getting tight. And I had to stumble off stage because I thought I was having a heart attack. A doctor came up and the doctor said, check my vitals. And he's like, son, you're not having a heart attack, you're having a panic attack. And those words changed the rest of my life. I mean, I began to struggle massively with anxiety. And again, this was 2003. So no churches were having conferences on anxiety. No Christian authors were writing books on anxiety. It felt like a dirty little secret. It felt like something that I couldn't share. And so for me, it took, I feel like, a lot longer than people really, than it needs to take people to find a place of healing with it. You know, I finally started, I went to therapy. I did all the things in the natural that I needed to do, which I think are very important. I went to therapy. I actually got on medicine. I began to exercise. I began to change my diet, all the things to get my serotonin levels balanced. And I'll tell you, Susie, that got me about 60% better. And again, I talk about this in Enter Wild. I feel like so many Christians are walking at 60% right now. Like so many Christians are like, you know what? Like I've been at zero. 60% feels so much better than zero. So you know what? I'm just going to wait until I get to heaven to experience 100. I'm going to wait until I die and I get to see and be in glory until I get to 100. But I mean, I'm here to tell you, John 10:10 doesn't say, you know, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life when you get to heaven and have it to the full. No, it says that you may have life here and have it in abundance. And so if the promise is life to the full here, and I finally started reading that when I was at 60%, I decided to go all in on my healing and chase my healing. And so I ended up doing a lot of inner healing prayer ministry work, a program that I did called HeartSync. And that got me after about 3 or 4 months, it got me from living at 60%, which I was at with my anxiety for about a decade, to in a matter of weeks, I got to 100. And it is, it's almost offensive for a Christian to say things like you can be healed 100% of your anxiety, because so many people have had it for so long that they've just come to a foregone conclusion that this is who they are, that they've kind of claimed this over their life. And I'm here to tell you that you shouldn't claim anxiety over your life. You should claim the promises of God over your
life.
Whether or not you get that healing on this side of heaven isn't the point. The point is that it's possible to get that healing on side of heaven. So why in the world would you claim anxiety instead of claiming the amazement that we actually have?
Wow. We're going to pause here. More with Carlos Whitaker when we return. We're claiming the promises over our life. We're going to err on the side of faith and trust God to do what only He can do. We'll be back in a moment.